Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Starts it week 8. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Andrew Erickson. And today's special guest from Yahoo Fantasy, the one, the only, Liz Loza. Liz, it is so great to finally have you on the show. I can't believe all these years in the industry, you and I have never actually sat down, done an entire show together. This is a beautiful thing. I'm very excited about this, I gotta say. And I can't believe you're just spending time with us lowly people, after getting to hang out with Austin Eckler every single week.
Oh, well, thank you. First of all, I will say that I have done this start-sit show for Fantasy Pros previously. It was never with you, though, and I think it was with Yates. I don't like doing this podcast because it's a lot of work. Like, this one... I gotta be honest, like, when you guys ask, I'm like, damn, they're gonna ask me to be on the show, and this is like prep. Like, this show takes prep, so your listeners should know that this team is delivering to the listeners an incredible amount of knowledge and research. This is not just a, like, I can get this done in 30 minutes kind of pod. Like, this is the kind of one that you want to study and get right. It is a meaty, meaty show. So I am both honored that you would invite me and also annoyed that I had to prep.
That is usually the reaction I get from most people. Happy to be here, but annoyed with me. That's pretty much the going thing. Andrew, I hope you've put as much work in as Liz does, because we're paying you around these parts. So, you know, I mean, come on, let's go, buddy. I hope your analysis is up to snuff today.
Yeah, no, it is. I always put in my best foot forward, especially when it comes to the starter sit segments around Halloween time. I like to do it with my articles. You know, I change it to trick or treat. It's always a lot of fun for me. It's like, oh, it was going to be a treat this week. Is Carson Wentz a treat or a trick this week? So it's a lot of fun. I like throwing in some Halloween stuff because make it more fun. Because that's, like, at the end of the day, you know, we want to be right fantasy football, but we also want to have fun. So
how are you doing after the Robert Tonyan performance this week? Because you've been spot on all year burying Robert Tonyan, and you know, in Halloween form, he has basically risen from the dead and become a zombie on you right at the end of October.
Yeah, no, he's back in the good graces because they have new information. You have a lot of targets. Devontae Adams' 32% target share is gone from the offense, and Big Bob Tonyan's got a chance to put on a show Thursday night.
Big Bob Tonyan. And on a serious note, before we kick things off here too, Liz, I know a lot of people in the industry a few weeks ago did some beautiful tributes to our friend Mike Tagliere, and yours was one in particular that really hit home for me, and I just wanted to personally, on behalf of everybody here at Fantasy Pros, say thank you. It was it was just a beautiful tribute that you guys did over on your show. It was very moving. It was very heartfelt. And I just wanted to say personally, thank you, because, you know, it's my mother always said there's always two things you can never say enough of. I love you and thank you. So, you know, I just want to say thanks, because I think that it was very kind of you to take time out of your program to do that for our friend.
Well, thank you. And, you know, Mike was very, very dear to me. And some people sent me messages that I didn't even know he had, like, said beautiful things and made some platitudes about me on other podcasts. And I my DMs were full of people being like, did you know Mike said this? And recordings, which I've saved and listened to. And my heart goes out to Tabby. Tabby and I were actually pregnant at the same time. And here's something I haven't really shared publicly with anyone. Tabby's son, Jonathan, Tabby and Mike's son, Jonathan, is about 4 weeks younger than my daughter. So I remember when Mike and Tabby had that show together, like the couples show, they asked me to be on it. And I was not telling anyone I was pregnant at the time, because this is an interesting industry. And hey, I'm the only mom in it. So I was kind of being protective about that information, but I had shared it to them privately. And then they shared that they too, after some struggles, were pregnant as well. And so Mike would send me like DMs periodically being like, well, we have an apple. What is yours? It's a cantaloupe this week, or you know, whatever the like size of the baby growing was. And so I immediately thought about Tabby and that personal connection that we shared. So I apologize for not getting through that segment without,
well, you don't have to apologize to me, because let me tell you, I mean, we had to do an entire tribute show, and that was not an easy thing to do. And like I said, there were so many wonderful ones, and I watched as many as I could, and yours in particular really, you know, stood out for me. You could tell it was real. And obviously with that story, you kind of understand why. And you know, we continue to soldier on here, Fantasy Pros, trying to give you the best content we can. And of course, you know, if you're listening to the pod, you can also watch the pod on YouTube. Make sure you head over to youtube.com/fantasypros and make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all kinds of cool quick hitting videos. All the podcasts are on there. The live streams are on there. If you haven't subscribed already, I'm telling you, on Halloween, we're going to be dressing up. I'm spoiler alert, Dan Harris is always going to pull the Woody costume out of the closet for Halloween. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to be this year. You'll just have to tune in. But again, if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, it's a lot easier. And don't forget to click that little notifications button when you do. Also, don't forget, we're in the thick of the season here. Maybe some teams haven't gone exactly how you wanted it to go. And that's where the autopilot feature of My Playbook comes into play. So if you head over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook, you can get that autopilot feature working for some of those teams where basically it's just going to manage your lineup. It's going to save you time. And it's going to auto swap inactive players for you, automatically set your optimal lineups. That way you feel like you're keeping the integrity of the league without losing time and focus and energy on teams maybe that aren't doing so hot. Or maybe if you're very busy and the holidays are coming and you're a little worried, you're going to miss out on making a swap. Again, autopilot's there for you, but it's only part of My Playbook. So make sure you put your teams on My Playbook today. As always, for week 8, again, like every week, we're going to talk about the starts and sits, and we're going to test how much work Liz has really done for this program here today. So let's start with the running backs. Liz, we'll start with you. In the top 20, who are you concerned with? Who do you worried about? Who do you think might be somebody to be concerned with in week 8 that is in the top 20 at RB?
Well, let me first say that I might have oversold the amount of work that I put into this. But that being said, I think it's hard to be concerned about any of these top 20 running backs because the position is so scarce, right? That being said, who am I expecting a down week from? Well, I'm not entirely sure that we can expect another top 5, top 10 performance out of Leonard Fournette. He's been absolutely fire lately. Such a value in DFS, by the way. He's managed exactly 81 rushing yards in back-to-back games, scored 4 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. But let's think about the tomato cans that he kicked over. Miami, Philadelphia, Chicago. Oh my goodness, my Bears. I mean, those are all bottom half teams in terms of rush-specific defensive DVOA. And, you know, when you're attached to Tom Brady and the Bucs offense, even when it's missing Antonio Brown or Gronk, there is still going to be game script leaning in his favor. 28-point win over Miami, 35-point trouncing of Chicago. The closest game was versus Philadelphia, 28-22. But hey, the Eagles are also allowing the third most fantasy points to opposing running backs. So the matchup was absolutely prime. This week he gets New Orleans. They've only allowed 4 touchdowns to the position on the season, 3 on the ground, 1 through the air. And the Saints are the number 2 ranked run defense per DVOA. The Bucks are only 5-point favorites in this matchup. I think that's interesting. I'm surprised at that spread, but that's what it is. And so I'm still going to rank Fournette again because of scarcity inside my top 20, but I am not expecting the requisite 20 to 18 fantasy points out of him.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the two games last year, New Orleans gave Tom Brady all he could handle. I mean, that was certainly, if you're going to point to some matchups that were difficult, and even in the playoff game, it was a very spirited matchup despite some of the issues that the Saints were dealing with at that time. Andrew, how about you? When you're looking at the top 20 RBs, clearly if you have RBs to start, you're just happy that you have choices. But at the same time, is there one that you're a little concerned with in Week 8?
Yeah, sometimes you just like to throw out a nice warm body in your RB2 slot. That's what I always say. But the one guy that kind of stands out a little bit to me is Elijah Mitchell. So I know that he, you know, dominated the carries for the 49ers during the bomb cyclone on Sunday night. That was a lot of fun. I mean,
that's my new nickname, by the way. I'm going to change my Twitter handle to @bombcyclone. Just want you to know.
I mean, he was dominant that game, especially early on. Like, he was over 60 rushing yards, like, I think, on the first drive, and it looked like he was on pace to, like, hit 150 rushing yards if they kept feeding him the ball, which they just did not. Like, Kyle Shanahan went away from him a lot in the second half. It was a pretty close game, and he just doesn't have any work in the passing game. You know, Jamichael Hasty came back from injured reserve and basically worked on all the third downs, got all the targets and receptions for the running backs. So Mitchell's not game-skip-proof. So this game against Chicago, it's kind of... I don't really know how it's going to go. I mean, you have two teams that have question marks at quarterback. Like, how many points are going to be scored in this game? Is this going to be a slog? Like, I just don't get a good read on this game. And with Shanahan, you never know when he's going to pull out the tricks, especially on Halloween. Like, this is the worst time. So I had some concerns about Mitchell. I mean, he should get the work and he's played really well. So I still think he is a solid RB2. But if game script goes south for him, like, he may not be on the field, which is a concern.
Yeah, certainly good points on both those guys. For me, it's Chuba Hubbard. He is ranked 18th right now, which is about right. But since he's taken over the starting job in Week 3, he's only hit that number once. He actually was RB18. Everything else was pretty much RB3-ish. There were two times he finished as an RB2. Everything else was just kind of blah. And honestly, theoretically, you should look at this matchup against Atlanta and think, okay, well, it's Atlanta defense. They don't like to tackle anybody. More arm tackling than you'll ever see in your life. But at the same time, what's going on with this quarterback situation? Where's the confidence of Sam Darnold? What's this offense going to look like? So there's a lot of issues right now going on with Carolina, in my opinion. They obviously benefited a great deal early on from the schedule they had to open the year. All of a sudden, you start to put some real teams on the schedule. Things have gotten a little tricky here, and I don't think any of us thought that last week was going to go the way it did, which was just an ugly game for Darnold and Carolina overall. So Chuba Hubbard's the one that I'm a little concerned with. Can I take him out of my lineup? Probably not. But at the same time, I think I'm a little concerned with him being in it. Then when we turn our focus to the guys who are on the peripheral, the players who are in that flex conversation after RB2, obviously you got, you know, pretty much the usual suspect names, the Connors, the Melvin Gordons, the Zach Mosses of the world. But Liz, let's go back to you here. Is there someone in particular or one or two that you feel good about starting from that group this week?
Yeah, I am feeling better and better about Michael Carter. Now, I will admit I was very high on him. Well, I was high on him at North Carolina, and I was even high on him over the summer when all of the buzz around his ability about how much the team was liking him, frankly, and his ability to rise his way through the depth chart was going. And in fact, he did do that. He established himself as the RB1 very quickly, despite the connective tissue that Tevin Coleman and the coaching staff have had for years. And Tevin Coleman has become a non-factor, whether it's because he's a non-factor or because of the various maladies that he's had to deal with. So I am really appreciating Carter's work. Obviously, game script is not going to go well for the running backs for the Jets, but what is making Carter fantasy viable is his work, not just at the goal line, but also in the passing game. He's had 5 red zone touches over the last 3 games. So we like that in terms of, you know, usage on the field. And in the air, he led the Jets receiving core in looks last week. He converted 8 of 9 for 67 yards. The last time he played the Patriots, by the way, in Week 2, he still managed 90 scrimmage yards. So this is a player who is consistently producing. Ty Johnson was concussed in that one. We already talked about Tevin Coleman not being much of a factor, whether he's on the field or not. Now, the Cincinnati run defense, who he plays this week, is pretty good. They're allowing a YPC of just 4.0, which is top 7, but they've also given up, and here's the key to Carter's production, the most receptions to opposing running backs. So I am feeling comfortable with Carter as a flex in PPR-friendly formats.
All right, so Carter's a start for you. Andrew, let's go to you for another start. Who are you like in this flex range, this post-RB2 grouping that you feel good about this week?
I really like Chase Edmonds a lot, and I seem to like him more than a lot of sports books like his rushing line, because I saw it open like 36 and a half rushing yards, James Conner's at 48, and I'm just like, my mind is blown. I'm like, why is it so low? Like, why? He's playing the Green Bay Packers, like 31st in explosive run rate allowed. Chase Edmonds is second in the NFL in yards per carry, 5.8. He saw a season high 15 carries last week. He saw a season high snap share last week, 69%. Nice. Like, I'm like, did James Conner become the starting running back for the Cardinals? And I just don't know. Am I missing something? I don't know. I get that Conner's been, you know, scoring touchdowns, and yeah, that's awesome. But I know that Edmonds is the more explosive running back of the two, and Edmonds can only put up so many yards from receiving yards and rushing yards before he finally scores a touchdown. He's basically the Jacoby Myers at the running back position. Just he'll never ever find the end zone, but eventually he will. And it seems like this is a good spot for him in a good matchup. The Cardinals, I think, are going to roll in this game against Green Bay. Again, Green Bay's defense gave up a ton of yards to the Washington football team last week. I mean, the fact that Washington only scored 10 points was totally misleading based on the amount of yardage they put up. You know, Heineke should have scored a touchdown. Terry McLaurin dropped the touchdown, like basically hit him in the face. It's like they should have put up way more yards. So this Green Bay defense is not good. And Chase Edmonds, I mean, pound that over on the rushing yards.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, it was good to see him looking healthy after dealing with that shoulder injury for a couple weeks, which limited him to just 10 points over those 2 weeks. Last week against Houston, obviously a little bit better there. Liz, let's go back to you. Give me another person you're looking forward to starting this week in that RB3/flex range.
I am feeling comfortable about the Bills' number two running back. That's Devin Singletary. Obviously, we all know that Zach Moss is the preferred option, particularly in the red area and the amount of touchdowns that he's scoring. But the Bills are 13.5-point favorites in this game against Miami. I already talked about how Miami was a tomato can against Leonard Fournette earlier. So I think there should be enough for both Moss and Singletary to eat in this one. And we saw that happen, in fact, in week two when both running backs found the end zone. Plus, I think with Dawson Knox out, there's a little bit of intrigue as to like who's going to see that volume. Is it going to be, what is his name? Tommy Tremble, right?
Tommy Sweeney kid.
Tommy Sweeney, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Is it going to be this Tommy Sweeney character from Andrew's Neck of the Woods? Or could it be Gabriel Davis? I personally would like that. Might be a little bit of a take lock for me. But regardless, there is some extra passing volume to be had. So it wouldn't surprise me if Singletary draws a couple extra looks as well.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Beachbound. In life, we're all bound for different things. With Beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to have the poolside bar near me, cocktail in hand, maybe a nice cigar as well. But as long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be happy. With Beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you no matter what you're looking for, no matter what you're bound for. Beachbound does this for you. They thrive on making sure their customer getaways are unique experiences that create lasting memories and bring relaxation and luxury to worldwide beaches. So what are you waiting for? Whatever you're bound for, there's a beach out there waiting for you at beachbound.com. And now, back to the action. All right, so Andrew, you know, you kind of touched on Edmonds there. I want to touch on Myles Gaskin for a second, too, who to say he's been erratic, I think, would be an understatement. But let's see if we can say, is he worth starting this week in this matchup against Buffalo in that very same game?
Yeah, the ultimate trick-or-treat is Myles Gaskin on a week-to-week basis. You never know what you're going to get.
I would say more the flaming bag of poop outside sometimes. And yeah.
I guess the only reason I feel somewhat, you know, semi-comfortable going back to Myles Gaskin this week is because Malcolm Brown is on IR. Like, and it sounds bad that we have to, you know, wait for a guy like Malcolm Brown to exit the lineup to just have confidence in Myles Gaskin, but that's kind of been the case when Malcolm Brown has not been featured in the offensive game plan for certain weeks this year. So basically, anytime Brown has seen less than 30% of the snaps played this year, Myles Gaskin has averaged 16.5 expected fantasy points per game, 14 touches per game. So we've seen his volume go up tremendously without Malcolm Brown in the lineup. We saw it last week. He had 19 touches, and it's no coincidence. So again, Ahmed is still going to be involved to an extent. I actually probably like almost prefer him as a rusher anyway to Gaskin, but we know Gaskin's strengths are in the as a pass catcher. Liz mentioned, obviously, the spread is huge in favor of the Bills. So we're going to see Miami trailing in this game, which means we're probably going to see Gaskins' receiving ability highlighted a little bit more. So I think it makes sense that no Malcolm Brown, pass happy offensive script. I think it makes sense to play Gaskin in the spot, even though the matchup on paper is not great against the Bills.
All right, Liz, those are the guys that we like. So give me some guys that we don't. Give me two players you think this week are on that bubble that you actually want to sit and not start at running back.
Can we talk about how we keep making excuses for Devonta Booker because we all blew fab on him when Saquon went out the second time?
I don't know this we were talking about.
I
don't. Sure.
I mean, I am not part of that royal we, but that is definitely a hashtag fantasy Twitter trope. And whether it was like, oh, well, then 2 weeks ago, he was just vultured by Elijah Penny at the goal line. That's a fluke. Okay, sure. But also then, and then last week it was like, oh, well, you know, Daniel Jones, he's rushing a whole lot. Yeah, Daniel Jones has been rushing a whole lot since week one. In fact, the only time Daniel Jones wasn't rushing was when Saquon finally, for at least a minute, looked healthy again and he didn't need to. I understand that on paper you see at Kansas City. Oh my gosh, that's going to be an amazing matchup, right? But that's presuming that the volume is going to be with Booker, and we haven't seen that actually happen. You know, I just talked about Daniel Jones stealing touches. Booker isn't as talented as Barkley, and so Jones isn't just handing it off. This is very much a committee backfield, including Jones as part of that. I think that Daniel Jones is the play this week, a sneaky play at quarterback if you need something in super flex. But I also just don't maybe the Giants receiving core could be healthier. Like, I don't think this is just going to be the Devonta Booker show, and so I am going to start him if I need to start him, but I think there are plenty of options ahead of him.
All right, so that's one. So give me another guy that you think is a sit.
Yeah, I mean, are we still considering Mike Davis? Like, why is he the running back 34? I couldn't believe that ECR had him inside. Like, he's inside the top 36. That is an RB3. I moved him outside of my top 40. Not only is he not, like, listen, he's not running well. You don't need to be some sort of a genius scout to see that. His conditioning looks not great. He came up wincing a bunch of times last week. I don't think he's healthy. I don't think he's in shape. He's seeing, and here is the stats so that everyone can feel comfortable proving that. He is seeing a light front, which is six or fewer defenders in the box, 53% of the time, and he is still averaging 3.6 yards per touch. For reference, that's the RB59 in that statistical category. He averaged 2.5 yards per carry against Miami. Again, this is the third time we're talking about Miami. Cordarrelle Patterson is obviously the preferred option in the backfield. Carolina's offense isn't doing the defense any favors here, right? Because they're gassed. Offense can't stay on the field, so the defense is exhausted. But the Panthers' run defense is still pretty stout. The talent we know is there. We've seen it happen. They managed to hold New York's backfield last week to 3.3 yards per carry. So I think Mike Davis is, like, if you have to start Mike Davis, then you need to go to the local grocery store and get yourself a bag of those fun-size Snickers that they have out for Halloween and get yourself the sugar high now to get through Sunday.
Yeah, I prefer the fun size Three Musketeers. Just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Anybody else doesn't know? Yeah, really? You thumb your nose at the Musketeers. You like the Snickers instead?
I mean, it's just nougat. Like, there's nothing. There's no substance. Yeah, like their whole thing was like
Snickers.
We float.
Sometimes the Snickers is too much though. Like, you have the Snickers and you're like, oh, it is like a meal, like they do in the commercials. A little
too
much.
Yeah, it satisfies. It satisfies. And if you have a hunger for good running backs, then you better eat a Snickers because Mike Davis ain't it.
What an incredible metaphor you just made there. Andrew Erickson, who is not satisfying you at running back this week you want to sit?
Yeah, so Melvin Gordon is one of the guys just because there's no volume play in Denver. It's a 50-50 backfield like every single week. And, you know, it seems like most people, myself included, rank Javonte Williams a little bit higher than Melvin Gordon every week for hope that the rookie just, you know, busts one loose because he's just more likely to do so. And we saw him really involved in the passing game last week. I know that his routes run have also kind of seen increases over the last couple of weeks as well. So maybe we do see him get more involved and kind of carve out a role as a receiver where Melvin Gordon has kind of had that role during the beginning of the season. So I just want the team to do more with Javonte, and Javonte's doing enough to make Melvin Gordon just not nearly as enticing. And we're starting to see this football team, at least their front seven, act like they were last year a little bit more. They're starting to stops imposing offenses. I mean, Green Bay did not run the ball at all really against them last week. So I don't know how much volume Melvin Gordon's going to get. If he doesn't score a touchdown last week, you're not feeling great about starting him this week. So again, with no volume to back it up, I'm just kind of like not excited to play a Melvin Gordon. And then my second guy is D'Ernest Johnson. So obviously balled out on Thursday night, and Nick Chubb looks like Nick Chubb is going to come back. Like, so that's kind of the play here. And you have the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're obviously one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So if it was a situation where if the Browns were playing the Jets, okay, like maybe I could sign up for, okay, like you play some D'Ernest. We don't know what his role is going to be, but you're expecting the Browns are going to be able to steamroll this team. They're going to run all over him. Okay, you can probably use him as like a flex. But we don't really know how much he's going to see of the field with Nick Chubb back. Are they easing Nick Chubb back in? Because last year he had a pretty solid game against Dallas when he came in for relief of Nick Chubb, and then it was the Kareem Hunt show for the rest of the way until Nick Chubb came back. So is it just going to be Nick Chubb as the future running back? How much is D'Ernest going to play? Is he going to inherit the Kareem Hunt pass-catching role? So there's a lot of question marks about his role and the fact that you just kind of throw in, oh, yeah, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Like, and you also have, like, Case Keenum / Baker Mayfield coming back from an injury. Like, what's going on there? So too many questions. It's great that we saw the talent of D'Ernest Johnson, so that in itself, but we just don't know what the role is going to be. And unfortunately, if he only gets five carries, then it doesn't matter how talented he is. He probably won't be able to be very usable for fantasy.
And it was a nice story, and you don't want to get caught up in that too. Sometimes a good feeling is a nice story. The guy that you plucked off the waiver wire had a huge week, won you the week 7, which everybody was desperate for players, right? Sometimes you can fall in love in the wrong way there and things don't work out there if you try to, you know, go back to the well a second time, especially with Nick Chubb potentially back. Let's play a little game here, courtesy of our Who Should I Start tool, which is free at fantasypros.com. Again, this start player tool, it allows you to basically compare two players who you think the might be close that you have on your team, and we'll give you the expert consensus on who wins. So let's start here. Andrew Erickson, Tony Pollard, or Michael Carter, who would you start this week?
You know, going in, I thought I was going to say Tony Pollard, but Liz has convinced
Liz
me otherwise.
Liz made a really good argument. I was thinking the same thing.
For Michael Carter, even though I have some reservations with Ty Johnson, you know, coming back. I know that he was concussed last week and then he missed some time. But the fact that Michael Carter is so involved in the passing game and he hasn't been playing on third downs just goes to show that, you know, hey, Mike White is all about checking down to the running backs. That he 40% of his passes went to running backs last week. So Michael Carter's going to get checkdowns, and I think that's enough. Where Tony Pollard, you're hoping he breaks up a big play. We should see a lot of points in that game on Sunday night. But, you know, Tony Pollard, we just don't know when it's going to come. So you got to look at the volume here with Michael Carter.
Liz, look at all that hard work you did convincing Andrew Erickson to change his mind. You must be so proud. Dare I ask Tony Pollard or Michael Carter for you?
Oh, I'm starting Michael Carter ahead of Tony Pollard, and I have him ahead of Pollard in my rankings as well.
All right. Well, 52% of experts say Tony Pollard to 48 of Michael Carter. So very close indeed. But these two experts have gone the Michael Carter route. Let's go for another one here. Zach Moss or Miles Gaskin. Again, we're going right back to that same game we were talking about. These are players we actually, we did discuss Gaskin at least. I know you talked about Singletary, but Liz, who would you rather start in this one? Moss or Miles Gaskin?
I feel like I need to do Andrew a solid after he talked up
you don't
Miles
have, no.
Gaskin.
You don't have to do anything for me. You're the guest. You do whatever you want. Andrew will just be there and he'll be fine either way.
Yeah, I just, the last time Zach Moss played this team, and it was this year, and I believe it was his, you know, he was a healthy scratch in week 1. So I believe it was his 2021 debut. He managed 2 touchdowns against this team, and I am not going to fade anyone attached to the Buffalo Bills offense, particularly if they have regular usage near the goal line.
All right. How about you, Andrew? Miles Gaskin or Zach Moss?
No, I think this is the play is still Zach Moss. I think Gaskin's a solid option this week, but I have Moss ranked higher.
83% of experts agree, yet they are very close in ECR, which is a very interesting dynamic there. All right, let's switch gears here to the wide receivers. We'll start with the top 30 group. Andrew, why don't you kick things off on this one? Who is in the top 30 wide receivers that's got you a little worried on Halloween?
I guess for me, it's how will things shake out with Jerry Jeudy coming back for Courtland Sutton? We have a very small sample size, one game of them playing on the field together last year or in week 1, and it did not go well for Courtland Sutton. He had 3 targets in that game. You know, he was a complete afterthought, and we don't know if that was related to him coming back from his injury and just Jerry Jeudy having better connection from training camp with Teddy Bridgewater. So again, it's a small sample size, so it's not enough to, oh, you got to bench Courtland Sutton. It's like, no, the matchup is too good against the football team, but you know, don't be surprised if next week we're talking about, oh, yeah, we're ranking Jerry Jeudy over Courtland Sutton this week because Jerry Jeudy went out and had, you know, 10 targets and Courtland Sutton had 4 because he is a guy that needs downfield targets and Jerry Judy's the more of the possession guy who's probably going to play the slot because they don't have KJ Hamler anymore. So you have Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton operating on the outside. Jerry Judy's a natural fit in the slot where he played a lot at Alabama, and that could see him seeing a lot of target volume in a very favorable matchup.
I am so happy in so many of my leagues to be getting Jerry Jeudy finally back. I've waited all this time to have nice things, so hopefully it'll go well this week. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Ultimate Fan. Have you checked out the newest free way to play fantasy football game? Introducing Next Level Fantasy Football with Ultimate Fan, where fantasy football meets pack openings. Play the Next Level Fantasy Football game that's sweeping across the nation. Ultimate Fan is new, it's free to play, and it's fantasy football. All you do is you open virtual packs, collect player cards from across the NFL, and build your roster over the course of a season. You put your fantasy football knowledge to the test and pick your weekly lineup to compete against fantasy football fans nationwide for the chance to win fantastic sets of prizes. And with Ultimate Fan Plus subscription, that's UF Plus subscription, you can take your Ultimate Fan experience to the next level. Plus, there's over $30,000 worth of gift cards up for grabs this season. Play the game that's sweeping across the states. Find Ultimate Fan on the App Store or Google Play. Terms and conditions apply. Download Ultimate Fan for free in the App Store and Google Play Store now and visit fantasypros.com/ultimatefan. And now, back to the action. Liz, how about for you? Who's a wide receiver in that top 30 group that had you a little concerned this weekend?
This feels super cringy, but I have Keenan Allen ranked outside of my top 20. I actually spoke to Austin Eckler on Eckler's Edge. We record the show
on Tuesday.
You like
how she dropped that, Andrew? You like that? That's one. You get two more. You get three. This whole show. That's what you get.
I didn't touch it at the top when you did.
You didn't? I didn't. I said it, so that's like a half.
All right. So I did say, because Austin has mentioned, just a little peek behind the curtain, Austin has mentioned how, like, when the Patriots came to SoFi and just shut them out 45-0 last year, how it was the worst he has ever lost, like, in his entire career, including, like, Pee Wee football. He's like, nothing hurt more. I've never been beaten so bad. And I said, okay, well, if Bill Belichick is notorious for taking away the opposing offense's number one, what does he do in the Chargers? Like, there's a lot of one. So what? And Austin was like, no. And putting aside his ego, was like, no, that's Keenan. Keenan is our number one. Keenan is the engine of this offense. He has no problem saying it. So I am going to lean towards the teammate of Keenan Allen and say that I expect that that's what's going to happen. That is, in fact, what happened in that matchup that went 45-0. He was held to just 5 of 11 for 48 yards. Now, obviously, there's no Stephon Gilmore this year, but I do think the Patriots, who play a lot of man, are probably going to double-team Keenan. That should open things up for Mike Williams and Austin Eckler, who are both coming off a bye and hopefully not dinged up. So that is why I'm putting Keenan Allen. I think he's my wide receiver 21 for the week.
I like the inside information there. That is super helpful because I think a lot of us are thinking, who is that piece that the Patriots want to take away? And full credit to J.C. Jackson and Kyle Duggar, who's played very well this year. I mean, that secondary's played excellent without Stephon Gilmore there anymore. And they were able to send him away in true Patriot fashion. And I remember this past weekend, they were honoring Richard Seymour. And I remember when we let him go and everyone's like, what are you doing? Right? That's just what they do before the expiration date. But with Keenan Allen, I want to ask you this too, because this is something I was talking about this past weekend on shows. Keenan Allen, top 10 guy in targets, but basically wide receiver 3 productivity. Don't you think it's only a matter of time where those two numbers get closer together because of all the volume? And we always say volume is king, and Mike Williams had some phenomenal games, but aren't we, even if it's not this week, eventually going to see a better version of Keenan Allen this year, Liz?
Well, I mean, over his career, he's not been the red zone option, right? He's kind of a little bit Julio light in terms of what he does in the red area. Great yardage, great moving chain mover. I understand mathematically, statistically, what you're saying is probably right. But if Mike Williams is staying healthy and they have Donald Parham, 6'8", popping in the red area, and they've got Jared Cook, like, there are so many mismatches that they don't need to force it to Keenan in that way. So I don't see that necessarily turning over unless more of these, like, bigger, larger red zone targets who can really climb the ladder. Unless they go out, there's no really reason to do it.
All right, there you have it. All right, the person for me this week is Devonta Smith. He's ranked 27th overall. I'm just uncertain a little bit at quarterback. This is the first week, and I teased it on Monday before it even went down, before the Joe Flacco trade shook the earth that we all stand on, that I said, wouldn't it be funny if this is the week where Gardner Minshew is finally activated, and wouldn't you know it, we're there now. And Detroit plays hard. I mean, I know they're a winless team, but I think Detroit's better than some of the teams that have one or two wins right now, just from the way that they play, especially on the defensive side. They don't have a lot of quit in them, this team. Now, Jared Goff sometimes will take care of things for them. But again, I don't know what's going to go on here with the Eagles. The Eagles offense right now, the Eagles period, I think, are a bit of an enigma. And despite all the fantasy goodness Jalen Hurts is giving you, he's not giving you good quarterback play, and an offense is not really giving you good productivity. So there's a lot of questions, and they keep taking L's. That's a problem. They don't care about your fantasy team. They care about wins and losses and their jobs. So Devontae Smith, any sort of, now look, it could be an improved situation at some point in time. We don't know. But right now, this week, I'm slightly concerned about that one. Let's get to some starts. Let's bring back the positivity. Andrew, bring me some positivity, some guys that you are in particular excited to start who are in that wide receiver three-ish slash flex range.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned him when I talked about Courtland Sutton, but Jerry Jeudy. I don't think that managers should have any hesitation to bring him back. You know, he could have played on last Thursday in that game, but Vic Fangio said it wouldn't be fair to put him out there without any practice. So, you know, he's ready to go. He's healthy. And the football team is one of the best matchups you could ask for a wide receiver. Second most fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers this season. And, you know, he led the team in targets in week one, tied with Noah Fant. You know, six passes for 72 receiving yards. And he actually did it while only running a route on 59% of the offensive dropbacks, because he obviously left the game with an injury. So, you know, he was up, he was pacing to hit over double-digit targets in the first game of the year. So I think he still has a connection with Teddy Bridgewater. We know how talented Jerry Jeudy is, and I just don't think that you should forget about why we were so excited to draft this guy as a second-year breakout candidate. So I think he's in for a really big second half. And if you can trade for him now, you know, while people are still not sure, like they kind of forgot about Jeudy, they're just kind of like, you know, dusting him off the old IR spot, you know, putting him into the lineup. I think this is a good opportunity to try to buy high on a guy like Jerry Jeudy.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Judy's that guy that I'm looking at very hard this week and getting him back into all these lineups, or acquiring him if he's somehow available in a league in a trade, because he is an all-world talent. And I'm glad that you brought up the point, I was going to mention it, that he was healthy enough to play last week, but you're right. More practice time, then get him back on the field, get his feet under him. That's a much better path. Give me another guy, Andrew, that you're excited to start this week in week 8.
I like Julio Jones. I think that he's in a good spot this week. You know, he's another week removed from his potential, whatever injury he's dealing with, his hamstring injury. And it's weird. You know, you look at his counting stats this year, not been great. You know, he's really had one solid game against the Seahawks where he should have had a bigger game, but he got called out of bounds on that one touchdown reception he had in the back of the end zone. But in terms of, you know, PFF's yards per route run, he's 13th, like just like he always is. He's always top of the league in terms of yards per route run because he's always efficient when he is running routes. Just a matter of, all right, Julio, we need to get you on the field actually running routes so that we can benefit from your productivity and how efficient you are as a receiver. So I look at the matchup against the Colts, and they're really giving up points to wide receivers because of efficiency. It's not really a volume play with them. The Colts aren't giving up a ton of yards and catches to receivers, but it's just every time they give up a catch, it's meaningful. So they rank 31st in touchdown rate allowed, 25th in yards per target allowed to wideouts. So I think that Julio Jones is in a solid spot here this week.
That's good, because a lot of people have been frustrated, I'm sure, with Julio Jones this year. Can you start him? Can you not? So Andrew being comfortable and confident in him, I think, goes a long way for everybody. Also, I just want to mention last week, just to grade everybody a little bit, hold ourselves accountable, because I like to here on the show. There's good, there's bad, and all this stuff, but you were talking about sitting Tyler Lockett last week, and that certainly worked out pretty well for you, Andrew. Did a very good job. And just for the record, Yates isn't here. But you're going to have to take the brunt of my sit Allen Robinson that you guys were on the start. And I'm on the, you absolutely need to sit Allen Robinson. Enough is enough. You guys are crazy. Stop just looking at the numbers and realize they can't throw the football. They won't throw the football. So that's why Yates isn't here today, I'm pretty sure, because he wanted to avoid that conversation with me. Liz, let's talk about some players that you like this week. Who do you feel good about starting at wide receiver in that flex spot?
Well, there's an injury concern here, but I do really like Sterling Shepard. I think the floor that he offers is fantastic. He almost made it onto the field in week 7. It came down to a pregame workout. Now, of course, obviously the entire wide receiver core on Wednesday were working with trainers, but I would expect, so like everybody could be healthy or everybody could be a last minute scratch. Again, it is nice to know that they have an extra day because they don't play until Monday. And again, since Sterling Shepard almost made it out into the field, I'm going to imagine that he is the healthiest of the bunch. And when he is on the field, the floor that he gives you in PPR is so stinking solid. I mean, he said himself, I interviewed him earlier. Oh, does that count? I did interview him earlier in the season, and he said that he was coming off of his best camp ever. He's the most tenured, which is wild, tenured member of the New York Giants. And now that he's back in the slot, like, you're seeing it all come together for him. He is having a bit of a career renaissance since he's being allowed, he's allowed to do the thing that he does best. He's drawing double digit targets nearly every week. In week six, he caught 10 out of 14. The over under in this game is at 52.5 right now. So there should be plenty of opportunities for him. I think he probably, again, assuming he's healthy, and I'm going to say this, even if Kadarius Toney makes his way onto the field, because we've learned that Sterling Shepard can't play outside of the slot, and Toney obviously has more versatility. So I think that the slot is safe for Shep. That's why I think that if I'm going to like forecast a projection for him, I think he catches at least 8 balls and probably flirts with around 90 yards.
If Tony's available, I'm starting Toney as well out there.
Sure.
Just throwing that out there, because you can get him involved in so many different ways, whether it's on the jet sweep things, like however, there's ways to get Kadarius Toney the football that it's not going to affect Sterling Shepard. If Shepard's out there, it's fine. If Toney's healthy enough, just get those guys in your lineup.
And Joe Judge is like a special teams guy, right? Like Joe Judge is a special teams coach. It touches every piece of the offense, but also he can find creative ways, hopefully more than Jason Garrett, to do something with Toney, especially in like this matchup against Kansas City, where people feel like they have an opportunity because the Chiefs look so stinking broken, right? Like there is I have to imagine this is a bit of a get up game for New York too, given the matchup and it being on primetime.
All right. So give me another person that you're excited about starting this week, a wide receiver.
So I really like Jarvis Landry for a lot of the same reasons, because of the floor he offers in PPR. And because if Case Keenum is indeed the quarterback, like Andrew mentioned earlier, we're not sure if it's going to be Baker or Case, but I'm also not 100% sure that Jarvis Landry's knee is going to make it through the week. He seemed like on a longer week, he was going to be okay. So if Landry isn't available, I just want to throw out the name of Marvin Jones. Listen, it's really hard to trust Urban Meyer. Just ask his wife. And or his locker room. But Marvin Jones has been pretty reliable as anyone in Jacksonville can be. He's catching like 6 to 7 balls a week. He's coming off of 100-yard, 1-touchdown performance. Seattle is the number 25 ranked pass defense per DVOA. By the way, Seattle's giving up like a touchdown a week to the wide receiver position. So as the team's number one and Trevor Lawrence looking a little bit better, a little bit more efficient, I think Marvin Jones is a nice play too.
Hear, hear. All right, let's get to the sits now. Andrew, let's bounce back to you. Two players that you're worried about starting, or maybe you would sit in favor of some of the other players we just discussed.
Yeah, so my first sit is going to be, it pains me as a Patriots homer, Jacoby Myers. He's just not getting it done, man. Like, he is fine. Like, he's fine. Like, 22% target share over the last 4 weeks, leads the team. But, you know, he's barely hitting, you know, double-digit fantasy points in PPR formats. I think he's had 9 the last 2 weeks. And it's been all against some really good matchups. Like, you've been excited to play Myers, hoping like, all right,
you're right,
this is the week. Like, he's going to score. Like, here we go. And he doesn't score again and again. So, and now this week against the Chargers, who are the, hey, just run the ball on us and we don't care, but we're not going to let you throw the ball whatsoever. Belichick's going to invite that and do it. He's not going to play into the strengths of the Chargers defense against the vertical passing game. And they're going to be like, yeah, let's run the football. We have Damian Harris. Like, the Patriots have a good run game. Like, let's run the football. It worked last week. Let's do it again. So I just don't see Jacoby Myers ceiling in this game. You know, LA ranks 28th in fantasy points allowed to running backs, but they're number one in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers this year. So they are the toughest matchup for opposing wide receivers. And Jacoby just hasn't shown that ceiling. That's, oh no, I can't bench this guy because he could totally blow up. Like, it's not happening this week. Like, Myers, it's going to be the week, of course, Myers goes 1 for 1. You know, he catches a touchdown for 1 yard. Like, that'll be the week that he does this. So he scores a touchdown, but he actually doesn't end up being good for fantasy anyway. That'll be a Jacoby Myers stat line this week.
All right, so give me the second guy that you want to sit.
My other guy is Corey Davis. I just don't know. I mean, Mike White. I mean, honestly, when he first went in the game,
do we
I was
have
like,
clarity that it is Mike White
yes,
starting this
so
week?
Joe Flacco has okay. not, right. Or the news that came out that Joe Flacco is not even going to be at the Jets facility till Friday, because or he's not going to practice till Friday because of personal reasons. I mean, yeah, maybe he does play. I don't know. But I just, there's so many question marks. Like, part of like why I like Corey Davis to an extent in the offseason was because he had showed a good connection with Zach Wilson. Like, Zach Wilson was targeting him a lot, and that doesn't seem, that's obviously not, no longer in play. I mean, Mike White honestly sounds like a guy that's in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, just like another guy you play when someone else plays as someone else picked Tony Hawk. Oh, I guess I'll pick Mike White.
Yeah,
oh,
Mike White's cool. Yeah. You could customize a board, maybe, you know, do something like that, make him cooler.
And Jamison Crowder actually ran the most routes on the team last week. They were actually rotating a lot of receivers, and oftentimes you see when these backup quarterbacks come in, they actually favor the backup wide receivers that they've played more with. So who knows? It could be Denzel Mims that just has like a breakout game because Mike White is in there at quarterback. So Corey Davis, I'm sorry, I just don't know what to expect from him, and I don't think it's a hot take to say, hey, man, if Mike White is your quarterback, I think it's
might be better off with Mike Davis. It's possible. I don't know. I'd have to go back into some of his Pop Warner games he played on TV.
It's probably safe to put Davis on the bench this week.
Yeah, that Jet game was certainly rough. Actually, my youngest daughter told me that I should be Robert Saleh for Halloween. True story. Her words. There you go. Maybe I'll just dress up like him. I'll get myself a Jet shirt. No, never. I'll never get myself a Jet shirt. It's never happening. Liz, give me two players that you want to sit this week.
I feel like I'm going to sound like a broken record, but Allen Robinson is still being ranked as like a wide receiver 3, or at least just outside of the top 40. And I think that we've seen enough. You mentioned it all. I mean, versus San Francisco. I don't know what it says about me, frankly, as a Bears fan, that I am rooting for Jimmy Garoppolo if he even sees the field and not Trey Lance, because Jimmy is from Chicago. We went to my rival high school, in fact. And I feel like the best play for Chicago is to root for Jimmy in this situation. The only Bear worth considering, frankly, is Khalil Herbert, and obviously stashing David Montgomery. Herbert has been an absolute silver lining and a surprise. But if you can't throw on the Bucks and you refuse to throw on the Packers, I don't know what the heck you're going to do against San Francisco. I think Andrew's right. This is going to be an ugly, ugly, low-scoring game. No, thank you. I'm sitting Allen Robinson. I'm dropping him, actually. I did drop him.
That's the point. We are at that point. It's not his fault.
What about, do you hold him to at least the trade deadline? Just to see if he gets moved. Because he's a free agent, right?
I think you do. I think you could hold him one more week. You can make that argument for sure.
Because if he gets traded, who's a team that needs a boost in offensive production? Chiefs. Just saying. It's like,
well,
the Chiefs need so much, though. The Chiefs could take Marlon Mack. The Chiefs could take any number of defensive players.
How about some defensive players for the Chiefs? Yeah. Can we stop being fantasy analysts for a second? Right. Talk about football.
They shut out Derrick Henry in the second half.
Oh my God.
Chris Jones didn't want to touch him with his wrist, and I don't blame him because that thing just got healed up.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't risk it if I was him either. It's stunning to me how many fantasy analysts are Bears fans. I wonder why that is. In the last 5-6 years, I'm starting... Is that because you all want to fix the broken? Is that what it is?
No, it's because we had to go out and we love football, but we couldn't root for our teams anymore because it was just so heartbreaking. So we had to start being like, oh, you know, it'd be great. The best thing about being a fantasy analyst is that I can secretly root for Aaron Rodgers without the ire of my city coming after me.
Now the truth all comes out. I like that. Give me one more person that you want to sit this week at wide receiver. And this is actually my number one sit at wide receiver this week too. So the floor is yours.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd. I mean, talk about floor. That's what he was supposed to provide. And he hasn't done any of that. And he made some noise when T. Higgins was out in weeks 3 and 4, but he's averaging. And we know this was going to be it, right? We knew that he was not going to be a big YPR guy, but 10 yards per reception and not enough catches is not the thing that I want. CJ Uzoma has obviously emerged as a real red zone threat. He's not getting a lot of looks, but my God, he scores touchdowns week after week. He scored 3 over the last 2, in fact, and that was with Higgins back in the lineup. We love Cincinnati because they stay aggressive and because Joe Burrow isn't afraid to chuck the ball. But in a matchup against the Jets, again, this is why you have to think about it. Everyone talks about how it's like risky to think about game flow. Well, I don't know how you have to predict game script, or you have to be willing to do it if you're going to figure out some of these like flex options. The Bengals aren't going to need a safety valve like Boyd. They're 10-point favorites. I think actually the sneaky play in this one is Samaje Perine, because there should be enough opportunities for both he and Mixon to eat against the Jets.
Yeah, Boyd's just going in the wrong direction. The emergence of the star power that is Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins being so proficient and so good at what he does, there's just no need for Tyler Boyd at this point, unless there's an injury to somebody else. And especially game script wise, I can't see anything possibly coming up for him that's good in that scenario fantasy wise. So let's play Who Should I Start Here? Let's say Jarvis Landry is healthy, Liz. Jarvis Landry or Corey Davis, they're almost neck and neck in ECR this week. Who would you start?
I mean, I think that's surprising. I will take Case Keenum over Mike White, so give me Jarvis Landry, assuming he's healthy.
Wow, it's week 8. We're having that conversation, isn't it? Wow, it's so week 8. How about you, Andrew? Jarvis Landry or Corey Davis?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jarvis Landry as well. He led the team in targets, and he didn't even play the entire game, so I'm going to go with Landry.
Although they're close in ECR, they're not close in percentage. 62% of experts agree with you guys. So good job. You guys are back on track. How about this one? We talked about Marvin Jones. We did not talk about Laviska Shenault. Laviska Shenault or Tyler Boyd? What do you want to do here, Shenault or Boyd? Liz, we'll start with you.
So I am nervous to say anything negative about Shenault because the stands are super, super loud. And it does make me nervous, like Agnew all of a sudden popping out of nowhere and Dan Arnold, the tight end. But I will say, for all of the reasons you and I both spoke about, I am going to lean towards Shenault in this one. Hopefully in PPR, you know, he can draw a good number of targets.
I would agree against Seattle. And Lawrence is starting to play a little bit better. I think if you're watching Lawrence play these last two games before the bye, yes, of course, we're all concerned with Urban Meyer and Urban Meyer's game plans and theories about the NFL offense. But Trevor Lawrence looks more comfortable in the pocket. Trevor Lawrence is starting, I think, to feel a little bit more comfortable in the speed of the game. And he's making better decisions. I think a little bit of extra prep time this week is a good thing for him and a good thing for Shenault also. How about you, Andrew? You want to go for the base floor that might not be there anymore for Tyler Boyd or the potential upside for Shenault in this game against Seattle?
Oh, of course I'm going with Laviska Shenault. You know, you actually look at his numbers since DJ Chark left the lineup. So he actually leads Jacksonville in targets, PFF receiving grade, and yards per route run. And he actually saw his routes run per dropback rate increase in week 6 up to 85%. He was actually more like the 60 to 70% range. I think they're starting to try to like figure out how to use him. I know they moved him out of the slot to the outside because of the Jamal Agnew, you know, breakout campaign that's going on right now in Jacksonville. And that's obviously like Agnew is just getting targets. So that's obviously,
I heard he's running for mayor actually that's next week. Yeah.
That's obviously a concern, but Shenault had 10 targets last week. Like Tyler Boyd, like, does he have 10 targets in his range of outcomes at all? Like, unless an injury happens, like, probably not. So, yeah, Shenault's at least getting targeted in his offense, and his matchup is more. I mean, this game could be kind of one of those, like, ugly shootout games because both defenses are not good, and both guys are just kind of, like, chucking the ball downfield. So, maybe see some fireworks. So, I'll go with Shenault.
All right, let's switch gears over to the quarterbacks here, and let's talk about QB1s that we might have just a little bit of concern with. I'll start with this one, and it's Justin Herbert for me, and I have been on record here many times talking about how impressed I've been with Justin Herbert all season, his progression, the fact that he has carried over the success from last year, which I think all of us were wondering, could that be? And he's done it, and he's done it in big spots. He's made big throws and big moments. All that being said, I want to put away for a second because he's also played Kansas City. He's played Washington. He's played Las Vegas. New England's going to be a test defensively for him. And I think this is a test also when Liz mentioned last year, it was not a test that he passed, right? So I think this is one, even though they've had extra time to prepare, I'm still slightly concerned. I'm not taking Herbert out of my lineup, but I'm definitely going to build in a little bit more flex appeal to that flex spot, maybe a little bit more boom and try to make up just in case he doesn't get to that 25, 28 point level that we're so used to seeing from Justin Herbert, who has played great this year. It's just the matchup is slightly concerning for me. Andrew, how about for you? Is there a quarterback QB1 rank this week that has you a little bit concerned?
So I'm going to mention Jalen Hurts here because I know you hit on the Lions defense as, they're a feisty bunch. And if you look at a lot of the metrics, it's really not like as bad as you would think that they are because they're 0-7. You know, they're not really the bottom-dwelling defense in a lot of categories. It's really more middle of the range. You know, even like a pressure rate, it's pretty middle of the range. So I just think that, you know, Jalen Hurts is actually going to have to play like four quarters of a game. Like, it's not like there may not be garbage time in this game. So, like, what happens when you take out the garbage time from the garbage time king, where he's playing against a defense that's always going to be playing him tough? Like, not to say that they're the best defense in the world, but they are always going to be playing him tough and playing to the last blow because they need to win this game. Like, there is no garbage time for the line. Like, on offense, there is, but on defense, like, they're trying to stop you every single drop, every single time the offense has the ball. So, I think it's going to be a tougher task than it just looks like on paper for Jalen Hurts. And look, he's never not finished as a top 12 quarterback when he's played a full game. Eventually he won't. Eventually it's going to catch up to him. And am I going to bet on this being this week and not start him? Like, no, but I also know that if we look back after this week and we look, wow, Hurts busted against the Lions and got benched for Gardner Minshew, it's like, mean, would we really be that surprised? Like, probably not. So it's just one thing that I guess I would be concerned about with Hurts. And that's why, like, I've tried to make sure I've looked at other quarterbacks when in leagues I have Hurts in, just as a precautionary to, like, hey, like, just in case something happens. And, you know, I would be lying if I didn't say I always felt more comfortable every time I was able to X out Gardner Minshew's name whenever he was made inactive.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I always felt just a little bit more comfortable, but now I can't do that anymore because now he is the actual backup. So, yeah, I think Hurts is probably a guy that if you can sell high, like, right now and get, like, I don't even know, like, pure down on Mahomes right now. Like, package Hurts with someone else, get Mahomes. I think it's worth it.
Sacrilege, but you're probably not wrong because the numbers are there. That's the thing. It's the fantasy numbers are there, and a lot of people who just play fantasy maybe don't watch as much in those more casual leagues. You might be able to get away with a weird package of Hurts and something else, but there's definitely concern here. And I can tell you also, having gone to college in Philadelphia, then living there for a couple years, if they lose to the Lions on Monday, that is going to be must listen radio, must see television. I can't even fathom what's going to happen in that town potentially. This was a town that when I was hanging out there and living there, there were more David Akers jerseys out there in full notice than Donovan McNabb jerseys, okay? And that is a fact. I'm telling you right now, it is a fact. I saw it every single weekend. So that being said, Liz, maybe we'll get to something happier soon, but for the meantime, let's talk about another QB1 that might not have the best week ahead.
Well, I love the ones that you guys picked. And I was really glad that Andrew was going to talk about Hurts, because my only fear about Hurts was that because the Lions run defense is so bad that he'd put up a lot of rushing yardage, which continues to force people like you and I, the three of us, to reconcile the difference between bad play and good fantasy play, but allows just fantasy managers to focus on the fantasy points scored, right? Like, I've always found that, just as a side note, really, really difficult to, like, reconcile the difference between someone who is playing poorly in the NFL versus someone who puts up fantasy points. So, Andrew, thank you for making me feel better. I was thinking about that in the shower last night, actually. I was like, God, I can't. This is what fantasy analysts think
that's
about.
That's what makes you great. Because, you know, most people in the shower, they're singing songs. That's what Andrew does. He's out there singing the latest Taylor Swift song, something like that. You are out there thinking about the stats and things that matter.
I'm just,
and
like,
this is why you're Liz Loza.
He looks so overwhelmed every time he has to throw the ball. Everything looks so hard for him, and it shouldn't be. But anyway, so thank you, Andrew.
Well,
you're
helping him by supporting him with a balanced offense.
No.
That would be nice. Maybe if you support him with a balanced offense, you could run some believable play action now and again.
100 and more. More than like 135 pound receiver with a sore knee. But I like Devonta Smith. I think he's an amazing talent, but maybe you need to give him a little bit more. Anyway, I'm not even an Eagles fan, whatever. I am a Bears fan, and I talked about that. And so I'm going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I appreciate you, Andrew, for helping me exercise. It was like a little therapy there to listen to you say all the things that were in my head. But Aaron Rodgers is going to be in for it on Thursday. Yes, because of all of the COVID. No Alan Lazard, no Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams, in fact, not traveling with the team. But also, Chandler Jones is expected back in this one. He almost made it back in week 7, but they held him out probably because they expected this to be a little bit of an NFC championship preview game. The Cardinals defense has managed pretty well, even without Jones and the 5 sacks he got in week 1. They've managed 19 sacks on the season. That's the 5th most. The line in Green Bay is supposed to be getting healthier, but Bakhtiari, I don't believe, is going to be back in this one. And also, the Cardinals' pass defense is number 2 per DVOA, defensive DVOA. Not a lot of depth in Green Bay. I mean, are we really expecting this to be an Equanimeous St. Brown game? God, I hope not. I can't wait to see Rodgers lose his bananas when MVS, who is supposed to return, drops everything that comes near him. So, no, I've moved Aaron Rodgers, the miracle worker, outside of my top 12.
All right, let's play a little Who Should I Start? These are two quarterbacks on the fringe of QB1 this week, both with matchups and both playing, I would say, better these last few weeks as well, trending in the right direction. Matt Ryan or Carson Wentz? Andrew Erickson, who would you rather start?
I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has been lights out the last couple weeks he's been playing. Yes, he's had really easy matchups, but that's what we want from our, like, fringy QB1s in one quarterback leagues. Like, we want them to play bad against bad defenses or against good defenses. So we know like not to start them. And then when they play bad defenses, they play good. Like that's exactly what you want. It's perfect. So he's averaged 23.7 fantasy points per game, 21.4 expected fantasy points per game. He's actually PFF's number one graded passer in his last three games played over the last 4 weeks because the Falcons had a bye week. So at 93.0. So I think that he's in a really great spot here. Carolina's defense has kind of come back to normality after starting the season really, really great. Again, probably because of the really easy schedule. Same thing with Sam Darnold. But, you know, over the last 4 weeks, they've allowed the second most fantasy points to the quarterback position. So Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, Matt Ryan, we thought he was only going to have Ridley, and now we're seeing all these other weapons kind of come out of the woodwork for Atlanta. So Russell, even Russell Gage is getting more involved too, and he's helping.
Oh, yeah, that Russell Gage, that Russell Gage bump really does make a difference.
No, huge. No, well, no, it's Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is the difference maker, and I'm glad... Hopefully everybody out there was patient with Kyle Pitts because he was still a rookie this year, but we're starting to see why everybody was so excited about Kyle Pitts. These back-to-back 100-yard games were incredible. Liz, how about for you, Matt Ryan or Carson Wentz, who would rather start this week on that fringe of QB1?
Full disclosure, I have these two back-to-back in my rankings with Matt Ryan at quarterback 14 and Carson Wentz at quarterback 15. So I am going to lean towards Ryan. Andrew spoke beautifully about all of the reasons why. I am interested, though, in Wentz, not just because over the past few weeks he's looking healthier and offering this floor, but I like this division matchup here. I like this bout against Tennessee, especially as Indianapolis starts to be feeling themselves, and now probably T.Y. Hilton's going to be back. And I'm not saying that that means something for fantasy, but I think in terms of options and Mo Alie-Cox is scoring a touchdown every week for Carson Wentz. Like there's some weaponry here that I think could be really interesting in the matchup against Tennessee. But I do think for fantasy purposes, again, reconciling that difference, I'll take Matt Ryan by a hair.
I will also take Matt Ryan by a hair, make that 3 for 3. I'm going to rattle off some names to you, Liz. You tell me who your favorite one is in Superflex if you got to start one of these guys this week. Roethlisberger, Garoppolo, Geno Smith. I'm not even going to say Justin Fields. I'm not even going to say it. Jared Goff, Tyrod Taylor. Of these guys, who would you feel best about starting this week?
I think probably Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, Myles Garrett is going to do some damage, and we expect him to be disruptive. But I mean, I feel like Geno Smith, the experience has been up and down. To me, it would be between Roethlisberger and Geno Smith. But again, when I look at like the talent and the history that Cleveland and Pittsburgh have had together, I'm going to lean towards Roethlisberger.
Same thing for you, Andrew. Is there another name you're thinking of?
I am in a Superflex league, have Lamar Jackson on bye week, and I'm praying to the Lord that Tyrod Taylor suits up. Like, yeah. I think
a lot of people looking at Tyrod Taylor right now going, hey, Tyrod back, let's go.
He played really well before he got hurt. Like, mm-hmm. He was playing really good. I mean, it's a small sample size, but he rushes, and I'm not playing Geno Smith. Like, that's not happening on this planet Earth. I'm not touching Geno Smith.
On this planet Earth.
Not doing it with Geno Smith. I just can't. So Tyrod runs, and that's what you want. Like, that's the hack. And if you run, you know, that's why we thought Justin Fields would be a usable commodity, but he's not rushing nearly as much. So Tyrod Taylor.
Andrew, how worried are you, though? I'm not saying that anything you're saying is wrong, and I'm not saying it didn't cross my mind, but how worried are you about Tyrod Taylor, who has definitely not been the most durable in his first game back facing Aaron Donald, despite the fact that the rest of the Rams off defense has underwhelmed?
I mean, it's definitely not ideal. You know, none of these options are definitely the most ideal plays. But again, if you're asking me to pick between the lesser of two evils, I'm taking Tyrod Taylor.
All right. Sure. Speaking of evil, let's talk about tight end here. obviously, very difficult to be disenfranchised with a tight end. You just got to go out there. If you don't have a really good one, you got to start somebody. I'm just slightly concerned this week about Dalton Schultz, only because with Gallup being healthy, what does that do to the Dalton Schultz target share? How does that affect things? I think this offense is running really well. I don't think they should change a thing because they are really the best version of the Cowboys we've seen in quite some time. But at the same time, I think there's a little bit of question mark. So I'm just going to say it's not you're sitting Dalton Schultz this week. You're definitely running him out there, but just a little bit of concern out there. Andrew, is there a tight end that you are concerned with potentially this week who might be a tight end one?
Yeah, it's Zach Ertz. I didn't know that you just show up to a new team, catch a touchdown, and automatically become a tight end one. I didn't know
that's
that
how it
was,
goes, baby.
That
wasn't that's how it goes.
Well, that's the thing with Ertz. So Ertz basically just took over Max Williams' role. So he was running a route on 59% of the team dropbacks. It's not like great. You know, most of the elite tight ends are up above 70%. And I mean, would we be ranking Max Williams as a top 12 tight end after he caught a touchdown 1 week? Like, this is the
but
same
But that
thing.
Could also just be because it was the first week, and maybe he's not up to speed enough on the playbook to be out there as much.
But the offense itself, I don't think, allows for a tight end to be running that many routes if they have all these wide receivers. It seems like the same thing with, Christian Kirk caught a touchdown last week, so you should start him this week. And then, then it's Rondell Moore week. Oh, wait, then it's AJ Green week. It's just another pass catcher that you're just chasing the points of with Ertz. And because it's tight end, it's definitely highlighted a little bit more because of how weak the position is. But he's behind Robert Tonyan in ECR. I would rather start Robert Tonyan than Zach Ertz in the same matchup.
God, I can't believe those words just came out of your mouth after all these weeks. After 7 weeks with you, here we are in week 8. I would rather start Robert Tonyan, Andrew Erickson.
Zach Ertz. All right. I know it's a hot take, but you know.
That's all right. It's probably right. How about you, Liz? Is there somebody at tight end that concerns you this week in week 8?
I'm a little bit worried about Hunter Henry. I mean, obviously the matchup is good. The Chargers are allowing the second most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. We love the revenge narrative. He did score last week, but here's the but. Jonnu Smith looked like he was about to have his best game of the season. He had 5 targets, which was a lot for him before getting hurt in the second quarter. His season high, by the way, was 6 looks. So he had already done almost that in a half, in less than a half. So, we don't know how healthy Smith is going to be. We're certainly not going to get clarity from Belichick. I keep an eye on the shoulder issue. That's what he ended up hurting in the first half of the game. But I think if he does get on the field, there might be just enough here to cannibalize Henry.
All right, let's play Who Should I Start? These are guys right on that fringe of tight end 1. CJ Uzomah is either tight end 1 overall or tight end 27. And Ricky Seals-Jones, very close here. Andrew, who would you rather start, CJ or Ricky Seals-Jones?
I'm going with RSJ. I just like his usage in the football team's offense. I mean, he's basically running routes like a wide receiver. Like, he's on the field all the time, where Uzomah has so many other mouths to feed to compete with, with Jamar Chase. I mean, Tyler Boyd still gets some targets, and T. Higgins had like 16 targets last week. It's like he had 3, and he just happened to catch 2 of them for touchdowns and for 90 yards. So I don't think we're going to see that repeat stat line. Where I think if you look at RSJ,
it is the Jets.
But if you're just betting on basically how often this player is going to be on the field, how many snaps are they playing? RSJ, I think, is the safer bet to actually come away with fantasy production.
I would probably agree. Liz, you agree as well that RSJ would be that guy for you too?
RSJ is a consistent piece of the Washington football team offense. And by the way, Tyler Heinicke spent the entire first week after Logan Thomas was ruled out talking up RSJ. There's obvious rapport and chemistry with them. I don't think that Joe Burrow is going to need to do the Burrow/Bengals-like things against the Jets, which is why I like P. Ryan. So I don't think the opportunities are going to be there for Uzomah like they were last week.
All right, let's move on to, actually, no, let me just rephrase here. The experts, by the way, CJ wins 57-43 in the percentiles there. But
the experts points chasing.
I think they're chasing points, but they're also chasing matchup just a little too hard. I think the RSJ, too many good arguments on that side, running all the routes. And look, a very improved player, a guy that had talent, but it's finally clicked for him, which is good. And whether he's there next year or somewhere else, he's going to be playing football in the NFL. All right, let's go to our must starts and sits of the week. I'll kick things off here. My must start of the week is Jerry Jeudy. You waited all this time. He's a phenomenal talent. Get him back in there. He's healthy. Let's go. What are you waiting for? And my must sit of the week is Tyler Boyd. All of the reasons that Liz highlighted before. Look, there's just not enough there to get excited about. There's other options with way more upside. Guys like Marvin Jones, guys like Chenault, guys who are out there who have at least about the floor of Tyler Boyd, but way better matchups and way better volume potentially. So Jeudy start, Tyler Boyd is my sit. Liz, who is your must start and must sit of the week?
My must start of the week is Daryl Henderson. I don't think he gets enough love. He's got an opportunity share of over 76%. He's seeing 19 touches per contest, running far ahead of Sony Michel. Sony Michel, by the way, seeing fewer than 9 touches per game, not even 0.6 receptions per game, like not even a full reception per game for Michel. Houston has the number 30 ranked rush defense per DVOA, and the Rams are 14.5 point favorites. So feel confident starting Daryl Henderson.
All right, Andrew Erickson, how about for you? Who's your must start and must sit of the week 8?
So for me, my must start is T. Higgins. Again, 16 targets last week, and he caught all the targets that were deemed catchable by PFF. Joe Burrow, it was his fault for all the other ones that they didn't work. So T. Higgins, good player. He graded out really well last week for PFF, and that's a good indication that it wasn't a player that was failing to meet expectations based on the target volume. Like, he was doing his job. Burrow was not connecting, and I don't expect that to happen as Burrow owns a top 10 completion rate this year. So I think that against the Jets, you know, one of these receivers is going to have a good game. Like, we know the Jets statistically don't give up a lot of points to wide receivers because teams are just running the football on them. But from an efficiency standpoint, yes, they can be beat through the air. I think T. Higgins is going to have, I mean, he leads the team in targets the last 3 weeks. It sounds weird because Jamar Chase is literally scoring an 80-yard touchdown every time he touches the ball, but T. Higgins is getting the volume that we want to chase for fantasy football. So I think that Higgins makes a lot of sense here in this spot. And then my sit, I'm going back to Tyler Lockett. Look, you can't play this guy with the Geno Cyclone at quarterback. Like, it's just not going to happen. You know, he had a perfect quarterback rating with Russell Wilson through the first 4 weeks of the season, 158.3. You just can't replace that chemistry. And that's why DK Metcalf has kind of made it work to an extent. You know, you're okay with Metcalf, but, you know, we see peaks and valleys from Lockett all the time. The only thing is, like, we know the bad games are happening now, so don't play him. And then when Russ comes back, you're happy and you play him again, because that's when it's going to be his peak, you know, final end of the season finish, when he always finishes, you know, a top, you know, 10 wide receiver.
Real quick here, let's touch on Thursday Night Football before we head out. Green Bay at Arizona. Look, obviously, no Lazard, no Davante Adams. Liz, is this the game that they've been waiting? Has this the reason why they acquired Randall Cobb?
I mean, I think it's perfectly interesting to say that he will see an increased role, and there's obviously chemistry.
Boy, are you measured in this question. Boy, oh boy, I mean, we are all being so careful about what, I don't know what to say. MVS, you're right, doesn't catch footballs. Randall Cobb is Randall Cobb. I'm at a loss too.
I mean, I think Bobby Tonyan is the play. Like, we know what the red zone potential is. We know there should be a lot of Aaron Jones here. Maybe AJ Dillon, who did pop in the passing game recently, sees something. But I don't think that, I mean, would this is not going to be your typical Packers offense where Aaron Rodgers is locked in on his guy, Davante Adams. I think there's going to be a sprinkling in a lot of Aaron Jones and probably a touchdown, maybe two. What could you imagine? 7 catches and 78 yards for Randall Cobb? Sure. How exciting.
Andrew, what are you excited about when it comes to Thursday Night Football?
I mean, MVS is a upside play. Like, we know that he has big playability, and it's just a matter if he catches the ball or not. And earlier in the season, he was getting a ton of downfield looks from Rodgers, and they weren't connecting. Like, whether it was MVS, whether it was Rodgers, I mean, it was on both of them. You know, MVS definitely didn't catch all of his passes, and Rodgers definitely missed him a lot, like, going downfield. So MVS averaged 100 air yards per game during the first 3 weeks of the season. And we've seen him play without Davante Adams and Alan Lazard before. Like, last year it happened, and he had 8 targets in that game, and he flopped. Like, he did not do that much with him. So it's obviously a risky play. Like, you're not feeling
confident.
And
he's coming off of an injury. Like, that's the other thing. It's not like he's been healthy working with the team. He's got a soft tissue problem.
Yeah. So it's definitely, I mean, if you want to shoot for the moon, like, you would go with MVS. And then if you kind of want, like Liz said, with Randall Cobb, it's like, yeah, you can lock in, you know, 4 or 5 receptions. You're good to go. But yeah, I think Bob Tonyan and Aaron Jones are really where the targets are going to end up going. I mean,
end this show before either of you say Bob Tonyan one more time. You guys with the Bobby, like, you guys are all close. Like, after the game, you guys are all going and hanging out together at the bar. Come on, you three. Oh, goodness. She is Liz Loza. You can follow her on the Twitter machine at LizLoza_FF. And of course, check out all of her amazing work at Yahoo Fantasy. You only used up 2, so you got 1 more. Tell us again about the Austin Eckler show and what else you got going on right about now, because you got a lot going on, my friend.
I do have a lot going on, but I love doing it. You can check out Eckler's Edge every Thursday on Yahoo Sports. This week, we have special guest Jerome the Bus Bettis joining us. He talks about fantasy and what he thinks Najee Harris's future might look like. So that's exciting. We do actually, Andrew, I think you would appreciate, we do a game of trick or treat, Austin and I do, about various players whose production might be a bit of a trick and some who will continue to treat in week 8. So check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at LizLoza_FF. It's the same on Instagram. And then FFL, Fantasy Football Live, 90 minutes before kickoff every single Sunday.
There you have it, Liz. I appreciate it. I know our audience does as well. All of the work that you put in to our show today. And this is not even your regular job. You're just doing us a solid. So we appreciate that. On behalf of all of us, thanks for hanging out with us. And Andrew, I hope you and Bobby Tonyan are exchanging text messages, figuring out where to meet after the game Thursday night. In the meantime, I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Ultimate Fan. Head over to fantasypros.com/ultimatefan or download Ultimate Fan from the App Store or Google Play Store. Open packs and play fantasy football. What's more fun than that? Well, maybe a vacation. Beachbound.com. That's right. Beachbound.com has all of the vacation beach spots that you are looking for that maybe you've never even seen, but you must get going. Get on that vacation. You deserve it. Beachbound.com will help you get there. Also, want to remind everybody, subscribe to our YouTube channel over at Fantasy Pros, and don't forget about My Playbook, fantasypros.com/myplaybook, and that autopilot feature that's going to be there for you the rest of the season. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Liz Loza and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.